right, good afternoon, council. This is the last matter on our docket today. It's 64862, Department of Corrections versus Carmen. Mr. Keene, are you ready to proceed?
I am, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. My name is David Keene. I'm a Deputy Attorney General, and I represent the appellant in the matter before the court today. There are two reasons that this case is before the Supreme Court. The first is the misconduct of Lieutenant Timothy Carlman. Misconduct that was found to constitute a security violation warranting his termination. And the second is the hearing officer and the district court's failure to apply Judge Deferral to the appointing authority's decision to terminate Lieutenant Carlman.
Let me just ask you a quick question before we get it. We all know the facts. We've read them, gone through all the material. Something I would like to hear about is my understanding is that he was placed back into his employment, and not only was he placed back into his employment at that after he was reversed the first time. He got a promotion, and part of the evaluations indicated good service. How do you reconcile that with what happened?
Well, I would certainly expect that Mr.
Does that make this moot?
No, not at all, Your Honor. I would fully expect Lieutenant Carmen had sterling performance after he was reinstated, and he crossed every T and dotted every I to make sure he did absolutely nothing wrong. The fact that he was, upon reinstation, he was promoted, means that the Department of Corrections hasn't taken any adverse action against him while this appeal is pending. There has been no stay in this matter. Therefore, Lieutenant Carlman has to be treated as if this discipline currently doesn't exist.
The stay was sought and it was denied.
That's correct, Your Honor. So to use this discipline against him, when the district court has said you're not allowed to do so, would be an egregious due process violation by the Department of Corrections. He's entitled to be considered to not have engaged in that misconduct until we've run through the entire due process. The fact that he's been a sterling corrections officer since then shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. I would fully expect he's done an outstanding job. That doesn't dissuade from the misconduct that he engaged in back in 2014 when he was the institutional investigator and he was told three times during a six-minute telephone conversation that an inmate was going to be imminently assaulted. And for the three times that Lieutenant Carlman was told this, his response to each of those times was, well, please tell me about drugs in the prison, how they're being brought in, use and so forth. Three times the inmate who contacted Lieutenant Carlman gave him an answer about drugs and then came back to this imminent attack on an inmate. He identified this inmate by the wing he was located in, the cell, bunk, and nickname. So there was no question who this inmate was talking about. And sure enough, within 2 hours of this report of an imminent threat, the named inmate was beaten within his cell. He was knocked unconscious. He had a broken jaw and was left with a boot print on his head. He had to be taken to the hospital for emergency care, and he spent 30 days in the prison infirmary because of this.
Now, how would you analyze Dredge under this situation? How would you expect the district judge to analyze Dredge?
Well, the appointing authority and the hearing officer found that there had been a security violation. Upon such a finding, it was up to the hearing officer to apply Dredge and defer to the appointing authority's decision to terminate Lieutenant Carlman's employment. She, in her the hearing officer's opinion, said there had been a security violation, and she flat out said, but I'm going to substitute my own judgment here.
Well, I thought she actually indicated that she did apply the Dredge analysis, but just came to a different result.
She's not allowed to in that situation.
So is that automatic? What she indicated is that she did apply it?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Was it indicated, in fact, that she did apply Dredge?
Yes, Your Honor, it was.
But she said she did, but she didn't.
That's correct. In instance where this security violation is found, it is not within the hearing officer's discretion to substitute his or her judgment as far as discipline goes.
So why have a hearing? If Dredge makes it automatic, why have a hearing?
Because you still have to find that there was a security violation. And that's the prerequisite to engaging in the Dredge deferral.
Well, any time that a prisoner gets hurt, they could do that to any of the officers that are involved in corrections. In other words, if somebody was on the wing or whatever, and somebody gets hurt, it's a security violation because they didn't prevent it.
But you can't prevent every incident that occurs in a prison, Your Honor. However, in this instance, Lieutenant Coleman had hours' notice of an imminent attack on a specific individual, and his choice of action was to do nothing with that. He didn't enter it in the computer system. He didn't tell any of his subordinates to check on the inmate. He didn't go check on the inmate himself. He literally did nothing with this information. It wasn't like a spite spontaneously broke out in front of him and he had to separate two individuals. He had a phone call telling him three times, identifying the person who was going to be attacked, and his response was to do nothing.
Well, his response was that he didn't think the caller was credible, apparently because of past dealings with the caller, right?
If Lieutenant Coleman didn't think the call was credible, then why was he engaging in a colloquy with this person about drugs coming into the prison? Why would he ask him that question and follow up with him three times if he didn't think this person's information was valuable? And even given that fact, he still has a duty as a corrections officer to guarantee the safety and security of all persons inside of the facility. When he was given that kind of specific information, he had a clear duty to take some action and go forward and make sure that the identified prisoner was all right. And that duty is identified in the Code of Ethics, the Administrative Regulation 339, which is part of the specificity of charges served upon Lieutenant Coleman. It's something that's given to every corrections officer from their first day in training. It's something drilled into them, that security of the facility is paramount. In this instance, this failure to take any action was a security violation. So I would say that it's not every situation where a fight occurs that you can pin that on a corrections officer and say that there was a security violation, they failed to act. This is an especially egregious situation with a bad set of facts, demonstrating Lieutenant Coleman's failure to act. So, upon the appointing authority's decision to terminate Lieutenant Coleman, the hearing officer held the administrative hearing, found a security violation, but instead inserted what she felt to be fair in her judgment. This matter went before the district court, where they too decided not to apply Dredge deferral. For some reason, the district court didn't believe that a security violation had occurred. They gave no explanation for this finding, especially since the hearing officer's finding decisions are to be deferred to unless the court goes out of its way to make some specific finding. In this instance, again, the court failed to apply Dredge, which would have warranted deferrals of the appointing authority's decision to terminate Lieutenant Coleman's employment. And that's how we find ourselves here.
Was there an attempt to clarify the record that the decision actually was that there were two violations, not just one?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
There were three alleged violations, but they were only found that two were had substantial evidence to support them, but then in the transition of that, only one was listed. Was that clarified before the district court?
No, it wasn't, Your Honor. But the fact that the hearing officer also found that one of the Category 5 violations was sustained provides an independent ground for upholding this termination regardless of applying dredge. The hearing officer found that Lieutenant Coleman had failed to take action. Failure to take action is a Class 5 violation. It's the highest possible misconduct. So the fact that she made that finding, and that finding is gone, and that decision is gone unappealed, can serve as an independent ground for upholding the appointing authority's decision to terminate Lieutenant Coleman, regardless of dredge. I'm neglected. May I reserve 2 minutes of time?
Yes.
Thank you, Your Honor. Now, the record, or I should say, opposing counsel and the district court relied on the fact that the Jackson case, in that matter, where there happened to be a written policy in place that was found to have been violated, and they seemed to use that as an excuse for finding that there was no violation in this matter. The fact of the matter is, in Jackson, the fact that there was a rule in place that specifically addressed the conduct that the person engaged in is the icing on the cake. And that situation, the cake, was the clear security violation. And that's exactly what we have here with Lieutenant Coleman. We have a clear security violation from his failure to act in this situation to guarantee the safety of the inmate. If there are no other questions, then I will
colleagues.
Reserve the remainder of my time.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Justices. May it please the Court. My name is Nick Wizorek. With me in court today is Lieutenant Timothy Coleman, who's obviously interested in today's proceedings. Thank you for taking your argument on this issue. I do believe it raises interesting questions. Most importantly, perhaps, the direction on argument was this issue of mootness, which I can address first. As lawyers, we think of our cases as being these nicely wrapped up boxes that we open up from time to time and work on and deal with, but in truth, real life gets in the way, as has happened in this case. So Sergeant Coleman was first terminated on January 30th, 2013, reinstated by order of the hearing master on May 2nd, 2013, and Judge Williams denied a request to overturn that decision by order dated December 13th, 2013. In tandem with the legal activities going on in the case, in Sergeant Coleman's life, he was, in fact, promoted to lieutenant on January 7th, 2014, coincidentally. Also in January, the agency filed a notice of appeal of Judge Williams' decision, and they went ahead and promoted him the same month.
Counsel, that promotion, though, or facts leading to it, this incident, to my understanding, was, I'll use the term, purged from the file because of the decisions. Is that correct?
Yeah, the notice of charges was purged from his file in April of 2014, after his promotion. And purged from the file. So,
well, let's go back and look at that for a minute.
Sure.
Counsel indicated that the agency, and I'll use that term, was precluded from using anything in that because of the decisions. Is that not true?
We argued in our brief, and I do not believe Judge Williams ordered otherwise. All he said was this man deserves to have his job, and I'm not going to reverse the hearing officer. Judge Williams did not say you got to promote this fellow.
I didn't say he said to promote him. I'm saying, was the incident not usable during that time period because of the decisions?
I am aware of no guidance one way or the other. I suppose they could have attempted to use that as an issue to hold up a promotion, perhaps. I do know, though, that when it was purged from his file in April of 2014, it ceased to exist. And going forward, if there's some decision to send this back for some further considerations, the question is, what are they going to consider with the specificity of charges being purged? I do think that does, in fact, moot this issue.
Does this court have the jurisdiction to consider what took place previously.
Previous to?
In essence, this appeal, or is it, as you started with, moot at this time?
Well, this court can certainly consider the issues as a factual basis with respect to Lieutenant Coleman as an individual. I think the issue is moot, and I think this court came to the same conclusion in a different fact pattern in Bish versus Las Vegas Metro, 129 Nevada Advance Opinion 36, which is 2013. In that case, the court found that the purging of a letter of counseling from a Metro officer's file after 18 months per standard procedure mooted her issue on her EMRB grievance. But the court went ahead and decided the case on other grounds due to public importance. I think that's what's in play here. There really
is also
no
a case with the police force at UNR that deals with the same issue.
Absolutely. Last year in Garcia versus University of
Nevada,
the court had an opportunity to consider Dredge deference and decided that case on other grounds. So clearly Dredge is something that gets dredged out very frequently in case law and in the matters that the court is considering. Going though to close the issue on this mootness question, Your Honor, Lieutenant Coleman now is an exemplary employee of the prison system, and his next promotion, if where it gets there, is assistant warden. If you temper that with the fact that during the underlying hearing, both the warden and assistant warden testified to the effect, I would have done anything except fire this guy, but we felt compelled to do so. Query, what is the remedy that is being sought here today by the department in trying to overturn a evolved fact pattern beyond the box of our little case here and affect his livelihood? I think the purging of the notice of charges, the promotion, the commendations, and other exemplary performance somewhat renders into question what the department would do if there was a reversal of Judge Williams' order. Going beyond mootness, though, is the question of the validity of Judge Williams' order in the first instance. So I do not believe we have to wage a full-scale assault on Dredge deference to have this court find no reason to overturn Judge Williams. His opinion was very clear in as much as he stated that Dredge is not triggered because I do not find there to have been a clear and serious security threat or an egregious security breach pursuant to Jackson. So Judge Williams considered Dredge, found it not applicable under Jackson, and upheld the hearing officer's decision. There was nothing arbitrary, capricious, or against law in his analysis. And essentially what the department is asking this court to do is simply substitute its judgment for that of the underlying hearing officer and Judge Williams, which we think would be inappropriate under NRS 233B.135, again requiring clear error for a capricious result. If you wish to discuss Dredge further, though, in this case, in the record, and many other cases I've dealt with on this issue, Dredge deference and rubber stamps show up in the same paragraph because the presumption is if it's anything to do under the security clause, court was stripped of discretion to question the agency's determination. Clearly, I don't think Dredge reaches that far, and it is somewhat ambiguous in terms of the fact patterns that are put in front of this court as to how Dredge may or may not play out. I do believe Dredge has somewhat perhaps outlived its utility, and as Justice Cherry has said, if Dredge is an inflexible mandate, why have a hearing under NRS 284? Which is a good question, because of the enumerated 21 categories of activities which can give rise to discipline, only the security clause has been found to trigger this issue of deference as a result of Dredge. So,
wouldn't that require a hearing to make that determination?
Hearing to determine if there was a security violation? Certainly.
Correct.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, counsel's correct. You would need a hearing to determine if there's a violation, and then everybody could get up and leave if there's a finding of violation because you would be stripped of your ability to question the punishment or the discipline. as we said somewhat facetiously in our brief, you know, in the context of Dredge deference, you could carry a concealed weapon into the workplace, you could engage in workplace harassment, take drugs on the job, or lie to get your job, and get a fair and impartial review of the evidence through the hearing officer. If it's a security guard in a prison who makes a mistake because he doesn't do the type of activity which someone else there thinks he should have done, as was this case in dealing with the informant's tip, he's done it because of this broad reach which has been attached to Dredge deference.
Well, wasn't that the whole Dredge concept, understanding the nature of the institution and the necessary security steps that need to be followed and taken? Wasn't that the whole policy behind Dredge?
Well, certainly in 1989, you know, I read Dredge again today, and it's pretty kind of a throw-out line as to the importance of this, so you didn't get a lot of guidance from the court back then, but certainly at that time, yeah, enforcing strict policies in a custodial environment was important. But now, with the evolution of activity in our society, where would Dredge likely end,
for example? So explain that again, because I'll take judicial notice, even at this level, of the fact that you still have prisoner issues in the prisons, and it's been alleged that sometimes the folks who are supposed to be watching over them look the other way to let it go on, which puts the prisoners at risk, and then ultimately the corrections officers at risk when they have to come in and stop the commotion. So I think it's still in play. Everybody has not become goody two-shoes in prison where Dredge has no effect.
Certainly not. I'm not arguing such. What I'm trying to say is that Dredge has morphed somewhat out of the prison environment into application in other areas. For example, the court dealt with a case some time ago where an issue of sexual harassment in the Department of Corrections was addressed, and they said, well, our decision is entitled to Dredge deference, and you decided no because it wasn't involved a security violation. In other cases, you've been asked to render questions as to whether Dredge applies in a juvenile detention center, and the court declined to go there because it could decide the case on other issues. Every state agency has an internet technology staff designed to avoid hacks, which is certainly a security program, at least under the language of the security clause. Is that entitled to Dredge deference? Juvenile justice, as I said. So it becomes kind of an exception that swallows the rule, which is what, you know, we've argued in other matters.
Let's go back and talk about, you mentioned Jackson and Dredge. They are not similar cases in terms of this. Jackson is a situation of an officer showing a female with a child, I think it was, security area.
Right. In clear violation of an existing
clear violation. This is not where someone has been threatened or alleged to be, in the best instance, a threat.
Right. So every case tells its own story. This one...
Why should Jackson prevail over Dredge in this situation?
Jackson discusses a clear and egregious security violation, and it also raises the issue of longstanding policies in place at the facility. Here, the testimony at the arbitration was...
So it's your position there was no security violation whatsoever?
The hearing officer found that Sergeant Carlman did not intentionally violate his custodial responsibilities. I think she did find a security violation, but violation with an excuse being he'd never been trained in these areas, there were no standing policies. Other people said, consider the source. You have discretion on making these decisionary calls. So in the fact context, which a hearing officer went through in detail, which Judge Sherry reviewed thoroughly, they found no intentional violation, and hence the classified violation was vitiated. Hearing officer found termination was too excessive. Again,
there were not two violations. There were three that were posted up, and they found two violations.
I think she failed to sustain two and upheld the one on the fail impact on the tip, if I recall the record correctly.
Does Dredge eliminate any type of progressive discipline for correction officers?
Well, I know the department is taking the position that for a class 5 violation, you have to fire the individual. I don't read the guidance that way. It's recommended, and you know, there's language in there of use your own discretion and how you do this. But if the agency makes a decision, we want to terminate this man, as Warren in this case did it reluctantly. I would do anything to save this guy's job, but I felt I had no choice.
So we have reluctant warden and assistant warden saying they're reluctant. Then we have a hearing officer saying, no, even though I applied dredge, we're not going to terminate this guy. And then we have a district court judge saying we're not going to terminate this guy. Now we're supposed to second guess the hearing officer, the reluctant warden, and the district judge.
And that is the spawn of dredge, because it is just, over the life of cases over the last 25 years or 30 years, it kind of has weaved its reputation on the agency side. They think you are absolutely bound to follow it. On the employee side, we look for ways to temper it by saying it's inapplicable. But it does create ambiguity, because in every other instance where there is a hearing review of a termination or employment decision, the hearing officer has unfettered discretion.
Well, almost anything that happens in a prison could be considered a security violation. I mean, it's a prison. It's not a playground.
Correct. And again, in 1989, it may have had a very good reason to be part of the court's decision-making and interpreting the security clause. In 2015, again, at least my humble view, I think it's outlived its utility to a certain extent.
No direct comparison to what occurred here. Wasn't there an incident that just occurred in New York that makes kind of a dredge proceedings appropriate?
Well, they decided to terminate that employee. I'm not sure the attorney would put up much of a fight.
The previous violation with one of the escapees was not a terminable.
Right.
She wasn't terminated over her relationship with one of the escapees.
In closing, I'd say again, what are we seeking to obtain here? Lieutenant Coleman is a exemplary employee right now. Is the agency really seeking to have his promotion withdrawn, the charges reinstated, him terminated retroactively for an event that took place 2.5 or 3 years ago? I know the agency wants to bolster its requirement that it likes dredge and it wants it followed. In this case, it may be a triumph of legal form over real life substance. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Okay, counsel, you've got about 3 minutes and 37 seconds.
Could you begin by responding to the last statements that counsel made in terms of what the department is hoping for in this case?
In this instance, it would be the Department of Corrections. The plan is to terminate Lieutenant Coleman's employment. As I said before, I'm not surprised that his performance has been sterling since he was reinstated after his egregious security failures, his complete failure to do anything. The fact that he's been a great employee since that date doesn't make up for the atrocious misconduct that he engaged in earlier.
But even
let me ask you this.
Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
You're saying there was a security violation. Is there anything written? Is there a manual? Is there a code of conduct that demonstrates all those things that could constitute a security violation that would perhaps trigger dredge?
Well, the department maintains its
just kind of a
administrative regulations, which go into all the different policies and procedures in place. In this instance, you have Lieutenant Coleman, who was placed into this institutional investigator position because he was a former Las Vegas Metro detective who decided to go into the Department of Corrections. He is a trained peace officer, one, who knew how to...
I think we're kind of getting off subject of that. I'm trying to address Justice Cherry's concern as well. Couldn't everything be considered a security violation?
No, Your Honor, not everything is a security violation.
And why not?
Let's say that.
How do you, is there a definition somewhere?
Well, if Lieutenant Coleman had engaged in sexual harassment of someone beneath him in the prison,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't mean it was a security violation. That may be misconduct that still warrants discipline, maybe even including up to discharge, depending on how egregious it was. That's not a security violation.
Mm-hmm. But if we go along with you, every tip that an officer gets, a correction officer gets, would have to be followed through, even though there would be a lack of credibility. The other thing that bothers me is the fact that the hearing officer determined credibility. I'm sure witnesses testified at the hearing, before the hearing officer, and now we're asked to overrule their the credibility that the hearing officer found, and that Judge Williams decided to affirm.
Well, first of all, yes, when a corrections officer is told three times in 6 minutes that there's an imminent third security threat to another prisoner, we expect him to act on that, period. And that may interrupt his duties. It may make his day-to-day that much more difficult. But that's the whole reason why corrections officers are in place.
But you're saying that's automatic termination.
No,
that's,
I'm not.
That's what you're saying.
No, if Lieutenant Carlman had received that information and acted on it, had done anything.
But if he doesn't, it's automatic termination.
If there's a security violation, yes.
Well, I don't think Ridge is automatic termination. I think that's why we have hearing officers and we have judicial review. Otherwise, we don't need it.
But Dredge says
it's not going to wait. Is there time or our time?
The Dredge says you should defer to the appointing authority's decision. In this instance, it was termination. It should have been deferred to. That was your recent decision last year in Garcia made the same point. In that situation, security violations were found. And for some reason, the hearing officer substituted his or her judgment. The district court reversed. And you affirmed, saying Dredge requires...
Well, that was kind of different, too. That was extending Dredge to a different organization.
Well, then that makes our case even stronger, that if you're willing to extend it to a different organization, then you should be absolutely applying it in the situation from where it began.
All right, counsel. Thank you for the arguments. We appreciate it. The briefs were well done. We appreciate that as well. This case will stand submitted in the...